Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive with us.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to be looking at Games People Play by Eric Berne.
Oh,
And
right.
this book is kind of a fascinating look at all
Yeah.
the psychology that's
Yeah.
behind all of our everyday interactions.
Oh, yeah.
You know those times when you feel like there's a hidden script that's kind of running in the background of all your conversations?
That's what he's talking about.
Bernie helps us to decode that script,
Yeah.
and it can be a little eye-opening.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
And I think you'll probably recognize some of your own behaviors in here too.
Oh, absolutely. And Bernay really gives us a powerful framework for understanding
Yeah.
not just what we do in our relationships, but why we do it.
Right.
He reveals those hidden agendas, and they're
Right.
often unconscious
Yeah.
that drive our interactions.
So we're all kind of playing these complex games with each other,
Yes.
even if we don't realize it.
Exactly. And one of the foundational concepts in Bernay's work is this idea of stimulus hunger. Okay.
And it's this idea that humans have a biological need for social stimulation.
Okay.
So think of it like this.
Okay.
Just as we need food for our physical well-being,
Yeah.
we need social interaction
Okay.
for our emotional and psychological well-being.
Oh, so we're craving connection just as much as
Yeah,
we crave a good meal.
exactly.
Huh. That's a fascinating concept. I
Yeah.
never really thought about it quite like that.
Yeah.
So what would be like a real world example of this?
Well, think about research that's been done with infants.
Okay.
Babies who weren't given enough physical touch and interaction actually suffered
Wow.
as much as babies who weren't fed enough. They crave those strokes. And strokes is a term that Bernay uses
Okay.
to describe any unit of social interaction.
Gotcha. So it's like those sensory deprivation experiments where even adults
Yes.
start to kind of unravel mentally when they don't have enough stimuli.
Precisely, it highlights how fundamental this need for connection is.
Yeah. Regardless of age,
Right.
it's not just about babies needing their parents.
Yeah.
It's about all of us navigating this need for connection throughout our lives and our families, workplaces, communities,
And oh, yeah.
even here in our local areas of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Yeah. And it makes you look at even a simple hello in a whole new light. You
Yes.
know, it's like each interaction becomes so much more significant.
And that's where Bernays' idea of transactions comes in.
Okay.
Every interaction,
No.
from a quick nod to a deep conversation,
Yeah.
forms a transaction. And those transactions are the building blocks of
Okay.
our relationships.
So all those seemingly insignificant exchanges are
Yes.
actually like shaping our social landscape.
They are.
It makes you wonder, are there types of interactions that are more fulfilling than
Yes.
others?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Bernays argues that we structure our social time in very specific ways.
Okay.
He talks about rituals, pastimes, and games.
Okay, let's start with rituals.
Okay, so rituals are those predictable,
Yeah.
almost automatic exchanges that we have,
Okay.
like greetings.
Right, like greetings.
Exactly. Think about the classic American greeting ritual
Okay.
that Bernays describes in the book.
Yeah.
Hi, hi, warm enough for ya.
Yeah.
It's almost like a script that we all follow, even
Yeah.
if we're just passing someone on the street.
It's so funny because those rituals can feel really meaningless,
They can.
but we engage in them all the time.
But they serve an important purpose,
Okay.
even though they might seem superficial.
Yeah.
They're actually fulfilling our need for strokes. It's a way to acknowledge each other, establish a connection, however brief,
Yeah.
and maintain a sense of social order.
Right.
It's that constant give and take that we all do
Yeah.
without even thinking about it.
So in a way, those rituals are kind of like the baseline of our
Yes.
social interactions. And
Yes.
then we move into pastimes, right?
Right. Pastimes are a bit more involved.
Okay.
These are those semi-ritualistic conversations that
Yeah.
we have around a specific topic, like
Okay.
discussing the weather or
Right.
the traffic,
Yeah.
or maybe even the upcoming strawberry festival in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So like small talk.
Yeah.
I admit I spend a lot of time in those.
But they're not just idle chatter.
Okay.
Pastimes serve a crucial function.
Okay.
They allow us to size each other up.
Oh, so there's a deeper purpose there.
Yes.
We're gathering information, making judgments
Right.
about whether we want to engage further with this person.
Exactly. It's a way to assess compatibility, shared interests,
Yeah.
and potential for future interactions.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there are the games, the
Yes.
interactions that Byrne is most known for.
Exactly.
So what would you say are some of the key things that differentiate games from the rituals and pastimes that we've been talking about?
Games bring in this element of hidden motivation and manipulation.
While rituals and pastimes are relatively straightforward, games involve ulterior motives that aren't always conscious.
Yeah.
It's about getting a particular payoff.
Okay.
Often at the expense of the other person.
Oh, so it's like a social chess match where one player is trying to outmaneuver the other.
It is.
Okay, that's a little unnerving.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example? What does one of these games look like in real life?
Well, let's take the game called If It Weren't For You.
Okay.
Imagine someone constantly blaming their partner for their unhappiness.
Okay.
Or their inability to do something that they want.
Okay.
If it weren't for you, I could travel the world.
Right.
Or if it weren't for you, I could have pursued my dream career.
Yeah.
That blame game.
Yeah.
That's a classic example.
Oh, I know that one all too well.
Yes.
And it sounds like these games can have a huge impact on our relationships.
Absolutely. They can create conflict, resentment, and erode trust.
It's why understanding these games is so important. Mm-hmm. It allows us to become more aware of our own behaviors and the behaviors of others.
That's true.
But don't worry.
Okay.
We'll delve into specific games and how to recognize them in your own life in just a bit.
Okay, good. I'm ready to hear more about these games.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this is where things get really interesting.
So those games?
Yeah.
Bernie outlines so many different games in his book.
Yeah.
And they cover a wide range of situations, from our personal relationships to our work lives, and even how we interact in our communities.
Right. And as you said before, all of these games have a couple of things in common.
Yeah.
There's a hidden motivation and some kind of payoff.
Exactly. It's almost like we're all walking around with these secret playbooks, trying to get our needs met in ways we might not even be conscious of.
Yeah. It's a bit unnerving to think about.
Yeah.
So how can we start to recognize these games in our own lives?
Well, one way is to pay attention to recurring patterns in our interactions.
Okay.
Are there certain types of conversations or conflicts that seem to happen over and over again?
Okay.
What are the feelings you experience in those situations?
Yeah.
And what's the outcome?
So it's about looking for those predictable scripts that are playing out beneath the surface.
Right. And once you start to see the patterns, you can start to identify the specific games that might be at play.
Okay.
Remember that game we talked about earlier?
Yeah. If it weren't for you.
If it weren't for you. Exactly.
That's the one where somebody constantly blames their partner for their own unhappiness or limitations.
Exactly. And on the surface, it might seem like the person is simply expressing their frustration or their disappointment.
Right.
But if you look deeper, you'll see that there's a hidden motivation.
Okay.
They're actually avoiding taking responsibility for their own choices and fears.
So it's like they're saying, I'm scared to go after what I really want.
Yes.
So I'll make you the reason I'm stuck.
Precisely. And the payoff for that person is that they get to avoid those scary feelings of risk and uncertainty.
Yeah.
They also get to maintain a sense of control, even if it's at the expense of their partner.
Right.
It's a way to shift responsibility and avoid confronting those uncomfortable emotions.
It's fascinating how these games can operate on multiple levels at the same time.
Yes.
Like, there's what we say, and then there's what we really mean.
Exactly. And the more we can bring those unconscious motivations to the surface, the more empowered we become to change our patterns.
So what are some other common games that we should be aware of?
Well, there's one that plays out all the time in groups.
Okay.
It's called Why Don't You? Yes. Imagine you're at a neighborhood meeting in Deer Park.
Okay, I can picture it.
And someone's complaining about a problem in the community.
Yeah.
Everyone starts offering solutions. Mm. But the person with the problem shoots down every single suggestion.
Okay.
Why don't you try talking to the city council?
Right.
Yes, but they never listen.
Right. Why don't you organize a petition?
Yeah.
Yes, but people are too apathetic to sign it.
Oh, it's like they're going through the motions of wanting help.
Yes.
But they're not really open to solutions.
Exactly. And that's because the game isn't about finding a solution.
Uh-huh.
It's about proving that their problem is unsolvable.
Okay.
And that everyone else is inadequate for not being able to help.
So the payoff is a feeling of superiority.
Yes.
Like, my problem is so big and complex that no one can fix it, not even you.
You got it.
Yeah.
And it also allows the person to stay stuck in their victim role.
Right.
They get to avoid taking responsibility for finding solutions and maintain a sense of control through their helplessness.
Okay. I can definitely see how that game could play out in all sorts of situations.
Yes.
From community meetings to family gatherings.
Absolutely. And it's a good reminder that sometimes people aren't actually looking for advice. They're looking for validation for their feelings of helplessness.
So how do we deal with someone who's playing that game?
Is it even possible to break the cycle?
It can be challenging, but one approach is to simply acknowledge their feelings without offering solutions.
Okay.
You can say something like, "That sounds incredibly frustrating. It makes sense that you're feeling stuck."
So validating their emotions without getting pulled into the game of trying to fix everything.
Exactly, because when you offer solutions, you're actually feeding the game.
Okay.
You're giving the person what they unconsciously want. Confirmation that their problem is insurmountable.
That's really helpful advice.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how understanding these games can help us navigate our social interactions in a more mindful way.
Absolutely. And it's not about judging people for playing these games.
Right.
We all do it to some extent.
Sure.
It's about recognizing the patterns and choosing how we want to respond.
So we have more agency than we think we do.
Exactly. We're not just puppets in these unconscious scripts.
Right.
We have the power to rewrite our roles.
Okay. So we've talked about if it weren't for you and why don't you? Yes.
Yes.
What other common games do you see playing out in our day-to-day lives?
Well, there's a particularly manipulative one
that
Bernay calls, "Now I've got you, you son of a bitch."
Yeah, wow.
We'll just call it New GY Sub for short.
Okay, that's a mouthful. So how does New GY Sub work?
Well, it starts with someone looking for a reason to be angry.
Okay.
They might provoke another person intentionally or unintentionally.
Okay.
And when that person reacts even slightly, they pounce.
Okay.
It's like they've been waiting for the opportunity to unleash their anger, and now they have their justification.
So it's like they're saying, "Aha, I knew you were going to do that. I told you I couldn't trust you."
Exactly. They've set a trap,
right,
and the other person has fallen right into it.
Yeah.
And the payoff for the person playing Nijiwai Sub is that it reinforces their belief that the world is a hostile place.
Wow.
And that they're justified in their anger.
It's like they need that confirmation to maintain their worldview.
Yes.
It's a bit sad, really.
It is, and it can be incredibly damaging to relationships.
Yeah.
But the good news is that once you recognize the game, you can choose not to play.
So how do you do that? How do you avoid getting caught in that trap?
It takes a lot of self-awareness.
Okay.
You need to be able to identify your triggers and the situations that tend to elicit those angry responses.
Yeah.
And then instead of reacting impulsively, you can pause, take a deep breath, and choose a different response.
It sounds like it takes a lot of practice to break these ingrained patterns.
It does, but the more you practice, the easier it becomes.
Mm.
And the rewards are well worth the effort.
So understanding these games, and specifically NIGY Sob, could even help us build a more peaceful community here in Deer Park or Port, right?
Absolutely. The more we understand our own triggers and how to manage our anger, the less likely we are to engage in those destructive patterns that create conflict and division.
This is all starting to make a lot of sense. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, there's another piece of the puzzle we need to address.
Okay.
We've talked about all these bad games, but Bernay also mentions that there are good games.
That's right. Not all games are negative or manipulative.
Okay.
Some games can actually be quite constructive.
Really?
And contribute positively to our relationships.
That's hard to imagine. What does a good game look like?
Well, there's one that Bernay calls Happy to Help.
Okay.
It's a game played by people who are genuinely helpful to others. But here's the key.
Okay.
They're not doing it out of pure altruism.
Oh.
They have an ulterior motive.
Okay, that's interesting. So what kind of ulterior motive could someone have for being helpful?
Well, it could be anything from wanting to feel needed to seeking approval or even making up for past mistakes. You know, it might be trying to build a good reputation, for example.
So even with those hidden motivations, if the actions themselves are positive and beneficial to others, it's still considered a good game.
Exactly, because the outcome is positive.
Yeah.
Both for the person playing the game and for the people that they're helping.
Right.
It's a win-win situation.
So it's not necessarily about the motivation, but rather the impact of our actions.
Right. It's about understanding that even seemingly selfless acts can have a complex psychology behind them.
This is really making me rethink how I view human interactions.
Good.
Like there's so much happening beneath the surface that we're often not even aware of.
And that's the beauty of Bren's work.
Yeah.
It shines a light on those hidden dynamics and gives us a framework for understanding ourselves and others in a whole new way.
But I imagine it can be pretty overwhelming to start seeing these games everywhere you look.
Yes.
It's like suddenly everyone has a hidden agenda.
It can be a bit daunting at first.
Right.
But remember, awareness is the first step.
Okay.
Once you start to see the patterns,
yeah,
you can start to make conscious choices about how you participate, even choosing to step out of the game altogether.
That's reassuring me. We're not just victims of these unconscious scripts.
Yes.
We have the power to change the way we play.
Exactly. And that's where true freedom and genuine connection lie.
So we're back.
Yes.
Continuing our exploration of games people play.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered so much ground in this deep dive, yeah, from those very basic human needs for strokes.
Yes.
To the complexities of the games that can sometimes drive our interactions.
Right. And as we've seen these games with their hidden motivations and predictable payoffs.
Yeah.
They can really play out in all areas of our lives, from our closest relationships to our interactions in the community.
Yeah, it is kind of mind-boggling to realize how much is going on beneath the surface of all of our everyday conversations.
It is.
But what I find really empowering is this idea that we're not just these passive players in these games.
Exactly. Once we become aware of the patterns, we can start to make conscious choices about how we participate.
Right.
Even choosing to step out of the game altogether.
So how do we do that? How do we break free from these patterns?
Yeah.
Especially if we've been playing them for years.
It starts with self-awareness.
Okay.
Pay attention to your own reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the situations that trigger you.
Yeah.
The feelings that come up.
Okay.
And the predictable ways you tend to respond.
So becoming more mindful of those internal scripts that are running in the background.
Yeah. And as you become more aware of your own patterns,
Correct.
You can
yeah.
start to challenge them.
Okay.
Ask yourself, is this game serving me?
Yeah.
Is it creating the kinds of connections that I want in my life?
And if the answer is no, then what? How do we actually change our behavior?
Well, it takes practice, but you can start by choosing a different response.
Okay.
For example, if you find yourself constantly blaming your partner for your own unhappiness, take a step back and ask yourself, what am I avoiding taking responsibility for in this situation?
Oh, so instead of projecting those frustrations outward.
Yeah. Yes.
We turn the focus inward.
Yes.
That's a powerful shift in perspective.
It is. And it allows you to address the root of the problem rather than getting caught in this endless cycle of blame and resentment.
And I imagine that kind of self-reflection can even ripple outward.
It can.
Impacting not just our personal relationships, but also our community as a whole.
Absolutely.
You know, if individuals are becoming more self-aware and taking responsibility for their actions, that could lead to a more harmonious environment.
It could.
In places like Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
Absolutely.
It's like we're upgrading the quality of our interactions one conversation at a time.
Yes.
And that's a very exciting prospect.
It is.
Now, Brené also talks about those good games.
Yes.
Can you just remind us again what makes a game good?
Okay.
Even if there's a hidden motivation.
It comes down to the impact of the game.
Okay.
A good game is one where the actions themselves are positive and beneficial to others, regardless of the underlying motivation.
So like that happy to help game.
Exactly.
Even if someone is helping others to feel needed or to gain approval, the act of helping itself is still a positive contribution.
Exactly. And it highlights the fact that we don't always have to have purely altruistic motives to do good in the world.
So maybe it's not even about judging ourselves or others for having those hidden motivations.
No, it's not.
Maybe it's about focusing on how our actions impact those around us.
That's a great way to put it.
This has been such an insightful deep dive.
It has.
I feel like I'm seeing my own interactions and the interactions of those around me.
Good.
With a fresh perspective.
Excellent.
And hopefully this new understanding empowers you to make more conscious choices.
Yes.
About how you engage with others.
It is about awareness.
I think the big takeaway here is that we have more agency.
Yes.
Than we often realize.
We do.
You know, we're not just victims of our past conditioning.
We are not.
Or unconscious patterns. We have the power to become more aware.
Yes.
To choose our responses.
Absolutely.
And ultimately to create more authentic and fulfilling relationships.
You got it.
That's an inspiring message. And I hope our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena, and beyond will join us on this journey of personal and collective growth. If you enjoyed this deep dive and found it valuable, we encourage you to visit thinkandactlocally.com/donate to support our work. Until next time, keep diving deep.